We do have a great show tonight. We have some great readers. We want to start with one of our first stories. This is a story that was inspired by one of the greatest short stories ever written, The Most Dangerous Game. Anyone remember that from seventh grade? Great story about a guy who finds himself washed up on shore of an island, only to be hunted for his life by an insane hunter. Well, we decided to put a Christmas twist on that. Because what doesn't say Christmas about a guy running for his life? And here to read it is one of my favorite people. This is Reed Martin of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, the people who created the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, the Bible, the complete Word of God abridged, and currently running the complete world of sports abridged. Please welcome Reed Martin.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 211, Most Dangerous Christmas. Every year in Sonoma County, California, about an hour north of San Francisco, David Templeton produces and hosts Twisted Christmas Live, an evening of offbeat Christmas stories read aloud by a wild assemblage of the Bay Area's funniest people. The event is a benefit for the Redwood Empire Food Bank and other food and hunger charities. This year, our very own Reed Martin read a dark new Christmas tale written by David Templeton, who has graciously allowed us to share it with you.
Most Dangerous Christmas. Deep in the dank, dripping heart of the Uffingfield Forest, just after sunset on a crisp Christmas Eve, 11 very rich gentlemen were gathered together to kill things. Within the cavernous trophy room of their large private hunting lodge, the gentlemen sat in rapt attention, listening closely to the opening words of their founder and president. As he spoke, they sipped at silver mugs filled with spiced wine. An assortment of rifles, crossbows, and handguns rested on their laps or at their sides. A roaring fire blazed in the enormous fireplace.
"Gentlemen, gentlemen, please come to order," commanded the tall, white-haired gentleman known only as the Baron.
He was a hard-looking man, his features as sharp as chipped obsidian.
"I welcome you," he intoned in a high, icy voice, "to this year's meeting of the Baron Buckthistle Gentlemen's Holiday Hunting Club. I hereby convene this weekend's activities."
Raising his mug, he added, "Gentlemen, a happy Christmas to you all."
"Hear, hear! Quite right. A merry Christmas to us all!"
As the gentlemen cheered, the firelight threw dark, dancing shadows into the rows and rows of animal trophies, stuffed and bolted solidly onto the walls of the room, each head gazing ahead in glass-eyed astonishment.
"As you know," the Baron nodded, "every year we ring in the holidays together, celebrating the season by tracking and shooting the world's rarest and most elusive creatures."
Smiling with pride, the members all gazed in appreciation at their collection, some specimens feathered, some horned, some scaled, and some winged, as the Baron solemnly cited the names of the various animals.
"The majestic dodo," he exhaled, "the luminous unicorn, the capricious leprechaun, the unapproachable pixie, and the deadly Norwegian fire dragon. And then, of course, our greatest prizes."
Dropping the volume of his voice to that of a prayer, the Baron whispered three more names.
"The Loch Ness Monster, the Tooth Fairy, and the Easter Bunny."
Ceremoniously, he wiped his eyes and cleared his throat. The rest of the membership all coughed and sighed to forestall the rising emotion in their own throats. The Baron continued,
"Of course, you will surely recall that we originally formed this club in a unified desire to track down, shoot, kill, stuff, and mount, that most crafty, sly, wily, and cunning of all creatures, the Sasquatch.
The Sasquatch, cowardly animal,
snarled the members of the club.
Sneaky beast, doesn't play fair.
What big feet he has, the damned hairy Sasquatch.
Yes, the Sasquatch, believed to dwell in these very woods, continued the Baron. Year after year we have gathered to hunt the crafty creature, and year after year he has eluded us. And still, he went on, Sasquatch or no Sasquatch, we have always found something of suitable legend, a creature of significant stature and stealth with which to engage in our annual, he cleared his throat again, festivities. At no small expense to this organization, I might add.
Hear, hear. Considerable expense.
We always find something, don't we? Hear, hear.
With this in mind, gentlemen, the Baron continued, finally zeroing in on his point, I shall now announce this year's chosen prey. After months of tireless research and effort, a truly extraordinary specimen has been sought out, discovered, and captured. Under an impenetrable cloud of secrecy, it has been brought here to this impossibly secluded location. Our quarry this Christmas may, in fact, be the most exciting we've ever had the opportunity to hunt. Gentlemen, shall we see what's on the docket this season? With a curt gesture, the Baron beckoned the members to follow him. Striding from the room, he led them through the lodge, out the front door, and across the grounds toward the corner of the compound known as the kennels. Gentlemen, behold this year's entertainment, largely nocturnal, lately indigenous to the North Pole, highly capable of blending into his surroundings, and sometimes possessed of the ability to fly. Gentlemen, I give you Santa Claus. One hour later, the gentlemen were gathered on the sprawling western dock of the lodge. Below them was a large expanse of grassy turf rising up and away from the building. Beneath their feet, under the boards of the deck, was a wooden crate into which the specimen had been herded. Clad in a red coat with white fur and small jingling bells, black silk breeches, and a large red cap. The crate's spring-loaded door faced out onto the turf. Two of the members stood ready at either side. Everyone understands the rules, purred the Baron, as he wound a large metal alarm clock and placed it on the banister. After the creature has been allowed a 3-minute head start, there are no more rules. Leaning over the banister, the Baron shouted to the gentleman below, "Release the prey!" The hunters all turned away from the banister, loading and checking their weapons. The ticking of the alarm clock mingled with the sounds of the large wooden door, now sliding open, thunking and squeaking below them. One man examined the points of his arrow as another calmly sharpened his throwing knife. Behind their backs, Santa Claus, abruptly released from the crate, sprinted out onto the grassy turf, his little bells jingling with optimistic glee. Halfway to the tree line, he turned his head toward the lodge. The hunters were all clustered together, their backs turned, apparently unaware of his escape.
Ho, ho, ho.
Santa chuckled softly. The alarm clock abruptly went off as harsh as the kiss of a shark. As Santa stood watching, the members all pivoted about, raised their weapons, and began to shoot.
Ho, 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 holy crap!
The turf exploded all around Santa Claus as hundreds of pot shots pelted the ground on all sides. With a speed not entirely expected from a person so large, Santa turned and bolted up the hill and into the thick cover of the trees. Lads, murmured the Baron, a satisfied grin itching across his face, the game is on. The previous year, it took the members less than an hour to track and shoot the crate load of garden gnomes carted in for their annual entertainment. The year before, the magic dragon, flown in from near the sea, managed to elude them for half the night, puffing smoke and sadly slipping into caves up and down the mountain, before finally being cornered and brought down with an elephant gun.
It was such a hunt, the long, unpredictable kind, which the members looked forward to with the greatest anticipation. This was one of those hunts. As the night wore, the well-to-do pursuers learned that their target was both stealthy and swift, moving rapidly through the brush while leaving few clear tracks. He was clever, too, as clever as an Arctic fox. Near midnight, when the gentlemen were certain they'd cornered Santa up a tall pine tree near the river, they fired thousands of rounds into the tree, using up nearly all of their ammunition before realizing it wasn't their corpulent quarry, but only Santa's big red coat filled with pine cones and hedged up high into the branches. Several hours later, a trail of boot prints nearly led them all into a deadly trap. Had the Baron not spied the tripwire made of silk thread, evidently unraveled from Santa's breeches, a booby-trapped cascade of rocks and timber might have been brought down with bone-crushing rumpus on all of their heads. By sunrise, the members had grown weary and deflated. They'd taken to shooting wildly at anything that moved, resulting in a rapid dissipation of ammo. Even the Baron, the only hunter with any remaining ammunition, was ready to declare that their prize had successfully escaped them. The members were halfway back to the lodge when Santa Claus was finally spotted, apparently catching his breath on the opposite side of the river. "Quietly, men, quietly," hissed the Baron, gesturing them toward a cluster of ferns. Across the river, Santa stood, clad now only in his underwear and the big red hat, standing strangely frozen, his face turned blankly toward the nearby trees. "Gentlemen, we have him." Aiming his rifle, with Santa now clearly in his sights, the Baron could see that Santa Claus was simply resting. He was staring at something. Still peering through his rifle sight, the Baron searched the trees for whatever it was that had drawn Santa's attention. After a few seconds, there was movement. With astonishment, the Baron gasped audibly as something large, gray, and hairy lumbered out from among the pines. "The Sasquatch!" the Baron gasped. "Sasquatch!" murmured the gentleman in hoarse, stunned whispers. "Good Lord, at long last, it's him, the damned hairy Sasquatch!" Through his rifle sight, the Baron saw Sasquatch turn his face toward the sound of the gentleman's hoarse voices. The animal's large, yellow eyes narrowed. He'd spotted the Baron, whose rifle was now aimed directly between the fierce, fiery eyes of the Sasquatch. "Take him! Take him now," the members muttered. "Take them both!" Hesitating, the Baron aimed again at Santa Claus, who had also detected the hunters. As the hunter shifted his aim back and forth between Santa and the Sasquatch, he smiled grimly. "Gentlemen," he sighed, his voice as crisp as frozen lettuce, "we have arrived at a monumental moment. You see, there is but one bullet left in my chamber." Either by instinct or experience, both Santa and the Sasquatch understood that a tremendous choice was about to be made. Each creature turned fully to the members of the Baron Buckthistle Gentleman's Holiday Hunting Club. Santa Claus, gazing directly into the crosshairs of the Baron's rifle sight, calmly removed his large red hat, smiled knowingly, and pointed a finger at the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch, his long fur ruffled by the morning breeze, responded in turn by pointing at Santa Claus. And so they stood as every member of the club held his breath while the Baron carefully weighed the decision that now lay before him. "Very well, then," he finally said. The shot rang out sharply as the warm glow of sunlight spread gently across the Uffingfield forest. Bursting into energetic applause, the members of the club, gathered once again at the toasty trophy room of the lodge, cheered wildly as their leader hoisted a glass of celebratory champagne. "Gentlemen, gentlemen," the Baron purred, waving away their praise, "I thank you most humbly.
As this year's gathering of the Upper Longwater chapter of the Holiday Hunting Club comes to a close, I'm sure you can agree that we will all remember this Christmas for many, many years to come. We have experienced the most challenging hunt in the long history of this organization. And as a result, there shall soon be a marvelous, freshly stuffed new trophy standing here in this very room.
Hear, hear!
Jolly good!
Hear, hear!
Additionally, the Baron added, we also welcome a brand new member to our exclusive club. He has proven himself a worthy addition to the club. So let us raise our glasses and once again wish us all a very, very happy Christmas. Cheers once more filled the room as the 11 gentlemen turned to toast their newest member. He was seated heavily in a chair near the fireplace, his long, freshly washed fur resplendent in the firelight. Tilted back on his hairy head was a large, red, slightly soiled hat. Happy Christmas, the members all shouted. A happy Christmas to us all! Triumphantly, the Sasquatch raised his glass and roared to the rafters.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Thanks so much to David Templeton and all the folks at Twisted Christmas Live for letting us share this recording with you. Send us your holiday tales via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, abominable snowman Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Michael Longfellow. No reason, it's just random. We're only 2 weeks away from our first performances of 2011, which we'll kick off with a very busy month in January. We'll perform Complete World of Sports Abridged at Pittsburgh Public Theater from January 4 to 9, then off to Athens, Georgia, Decatur and Birmingham, Alabama, Fairbanks, Alaska, and Nacogdoches and Austin, Texas. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific venue and ticket information. Finally, we'll leave you with our very own Christmas Carol mashup off our Reduced Shakespeare Company Christmas CD. Thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, wishing you all the best of the holiday season from 100% of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Jingle bells, King Wenceslas, ba-la-la-la-la, the first Noel. The ox and lamb kept time as good as they smelled. Oh, Christmas tree of Bethlehem, oh, silent, oh, holy night, the herald angels sing away in a manger bright. Hallelujah, and Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa, shave and a haircut, two bits.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.